Elisha who burnt his plough, all or nothing type of character who had a mantle thrust upon him when he asked for a double portion. And this week we're going to look at Elijah. And over the next few weeks, I don't really have a system in this. I'm just going back and forward between Elijah and Elisha. And this morning we're going to look at Elijah a little bit this morning from 1 Kings 19, 9 to 15, if you have a Bible. 1 Kings 19, 9 to 15. 1 Kings 19, 9 to 15. There he went into a cave, and he spent the night, Elijah. It says, in my Bible, I don't know what it says in yours, says, the Lord appears to Elijah, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put the prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood on the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. And then in verse 15 it says, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. Let us just pray. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the challenge we see even in that word this morning. So, Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts. Amen. As we seen last week from the life a little bit of Elijah, this character has been described as one of the most colorful and interesting characters in the scripture. If you ever read his story, his name means my God is Lord, or Yahweh is my Lord, something right now. But my God is Lord is what the meaning of his name is. And unlike Elijah, we know very little about his family. We don't know where he was born. We don't know any of the detail about Elijah. But what we do know is his life was full of turmoil. But yet he was a bold character. He was a decisive character. Other times he would have been a fearful character and even a tentative type of guy. He knew what it was to have victory, to experience defeat, and to journey through recovery. He knew both the power of God and the depths of depression. Listen to me in that. He knew both the power of God and also the power of depression. Interesting that, isn't it? He knew the power of God in the depths of depression. But this time we see him in our scripture in an unusual setting. And it's a setting in many ways. It's a setting without rhythm. It's a setting without structure. And it's a setting that's lacking stability. Isn't it good to have rhythm in our lives? Does anybody have rhythm? Is anybody a musical person? By the boys on stage. It's good to have rhythm, isn't it? You always notice somebody who has rhythm, how they dance, don't you? I'm not going to dance this morning. But it's good to have rhythm, isn't it? Rhythm is so much a part of our lives and even in our world. We live in a world that has seasons. I'm sort of, if you went out 5 minutes ago, you'd have seen three or four of them in one moment, so you would. It rains. The sun shines and then there's hail. It's part of the rhythm that we have at the minute. It will snow, it tells us, not today, but sometimes, probably next month, it's going to snow. It will be windy, and there will be drought. They're all part of seasons in our world, and it's good to have structure, and it's good to have stability, and rhythm is good. It brings stability, and we do need structure, and whether we like it or not, or we think about it or not, we all crave rhythm in our lives. But life has a way, hasn't it, of taking us out of rhythm. We have days of normality, don't we? We have days of boredom. We have days of excitement, and we get days of disappointment. And life can be so unpredictable. It won't rain forever. We live on an island. We know that, don't we? We might just get some more sunshine today. At some point, it will snow. Hopefully not today. It will get windy. And there will, at some point, when the sun shines for a couple of days, we'll get a hose pipe bomb, won't we? That's definitely going to come this summer at some stage. But God's ways are so different to our ways, aren't they? Isaiah would tell us that. Sometimes God will use different methods. He works in a system that is different to shape each and every one of us. Romans 9 and 19 to 24 tells us this. We are clay, and God is the potter. We are clay, and God is the potter. I don't know if you've ever molded clay before, but if you ever went to one of them wee settings that you get, sometimes it takes a light touch, doesn't it, to mold clay? You have to be very, very light-fingered. Sometimes clay needs pressed. Pressure is required to mold. Creating an image when we think of pottery, you really, really, really need to know what you're doing, don't you? Has anybody ever done it before? You really need to know what you're doing when you're molding clay. But to be molded or even conformed, God knows what it's going to take for you and me to be more like his image, created in his image. And this morning we see in our scripture, we see Elijah, this man of many miracles, a man with boldness, a man with courage, a prophet of God. He was the voice of God to a nation. When God spoke, Elijah spoke. If he had a job description, I wrote this down. If I think if Elijah had a job description, it would be something like this. Popular person wanted for an unpopular position. That's nearly Christianity, isn't it? A popular person wanted for an unpopular position. He was a man with power. He had strong convictions. He was ready for battle, ready to be challenged. He was a man with a purpose. He knew God, and God knew Elijah. He knew God through the ravens. If you read the story, didn't he? God would provide through ravens. God would multiply for him. God was always true to his word with Elijah. He knew he belonged. He knew he was called. He had seen God do things. He had seen God provide. He knows God, and God knows Elijah. In 1 Kings 18, it tells us he would run like no other ever could. Do you remember the story? He ran by the chariots. It said he could run faster, and he would run like no other in history would ever do. He saw the impossible become possible. Elijah, what was true for him can also be true for us. Just like Elijah, when we see our story this morning, we can also get discouraged, can't we? Elijah, who would build the altars, Elijah, who would dig the ditches, Elijah, who would call fire down from heaven, Elijah, who would call the Lord and God would answer, Elijah this time finds himself in a cave. And he was asked a question in our scripture this morning. He's asked this question, what are you doing here? A better way to say that maybe, how have you let this happen? Sometimes we find ourselves in a place, don't we? And we don't even know we're in it. Sometimes we let things happen to ourselves and never recognize the consequences of our actions. And maybe the question for you and for me this morning, what are you doing here, is relevant. How have you let this happen? Outside appearance is good. We have enough. We don't really lack an awful lot, but spiritually, see, our ways sometimes can be higher than God's, can't they? We get on with things, we get busy doing things, and we ignore all the warning signs, don't we? Maybe God's ways that are so much higher than our ways allows us to get to a place. This time for Elijah, it was a cave. Why did he let Elijah get into the cave? Maybe this is why this morning. So we could talk to him. Why does he allow us to get to a place in life where we just don't seem that it's happening anymore? Maybe just to talk to us. God wants a conversation. And God wants you this morning. God wants our attention. Elijah finds himself isolated and alone. We know what Genesis 2 tells us. We were never designed for being alone. He says, God said it is not good for a man to be alone. And it's the first time we see God say that it was not good. He made everything else was good. He made the sky, the morning, the evening. He created man, and he said that it was good. But this is the first time we see God say it is not good. At times, I don't know about you, okay? At times we need to be alone, don't we? I don't mind being alone. I'm a wee bit introverted, so alone for me is not a bad thing. It can be good to be alone. There's no doubt about that. But to find yourself alone in a cave, to be alone with our thoughts, it's not always good. Abraham would know what it was like to be alone. Jacob was left alone with God, we're told, which is really, really good. Jesus often went to a place to be alone with God. That's even better. But it's not good to be alone when we do it. But when God separates us, when God separates us, often in Scripture, listen to this, often when Scripture, when God wants to work in a person's life or a people's life or a group of people, they become alone. That's how God works. Elijah, who would call fire down from heaven, he proves his point, wins the day, defeats the odds. He knows how to confront. He knows how to stand his ground. Elijah, for some reason, after all he does, he runs to a cave to be alone. Do you ever wonder how God can be glorified in a cave? How does this reflect on the prophet of God? How does it actually reflect on God that Elijah would go to the cave to be alone? You see, we praise God, don't we, when he comes through for us? When he's glorified, when he glorifies, and when he provides for us, we praise him. He's vindicated when he answers prayer, isn't he? It's the same God who provided for him in the desert. Manna from heaven. It's the same God that would part the waters for the children of Israel. He would be in fire by night and he would be in a cloud by day. He provides when there's nothing. He multiplies when there's little. He heals when all hope is gone. This is our God this morning. This is the God that we serve. This is the God we worship. God's ways this morning are not our ways. But the question was asked. And maybe the question to ask this morning is, who is God to you in a cave? Elijah will find himself in a cave, alone with God. Who is God to you in a cave? You see, sometimes we're called to the cave. Alone with God is the only time sometimes we can have a conversation with him. A cave is a place of solitude. It's a place of being alone. It's a place. They have man caves nowadays, don't they? I don't have one. But you see these things, they have a cave, a man cave, they would call it, where a place where you can be solitude, be alone with your thoughts. All distractions aside. But for full access to God, why would we go to a cave? Running to a cave for a reason to be with God is good. But it's not what we see in our scriptures this morning. Elijah doesn't go to God or doesn't go to the cave to find God. He's running from Jezebel in our story. He's running from all that he's done. He's running in fear. And he doesn't run to God in the cave. But here's the beautiful part of our story this morning. God shows up. God asks, "What are you doing here?" Imagine the scene this morning, okay? God asks the question, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" Imagine the excuses Elijah comes. Imagine what you would say this morning, okay? What would you say if God says, "What are you doing here?" He makes all the excuses of the day, all the hard luck stories he can find. He says something interesting that we would probably do as well, and I've done this as well. He makes it all about him. I'm the only one left, he says. Have you ever done that? It's all about me sort of stuff. He says to God, I'm the only one left. It's a bit of a pity party he has. See, to find ourselves alone is one thing. To think you're the only one is another. How many times have we felt this? No one understands. No one realizes. No one has ever been through what I've been through. No one could ever understand. How many times have we done that? To be the only one. To feel it. You feel it now. You feel it in a crowd. You feel it at church. To be the only one that feels that. But here's what starts to happen in our story. Elijah evaluates where he is. He asks, where am I going? Where am I? And what is happening? Remember the journey? He's fought the good fight. It's now time to fight or flee. Don't we have that in us? Whether like confrontation or we don't, we fight or flee. God does for Elijah what God will do for me and you. God shows up in the cave. And here's the big thing about that. When God shows up, things have to change. Seasons have to shift. Stuff has to happen. You see, who goes in with God never stays the same. Who goes in with God never stays the same. To come in one way to the cave and leave differently. I don't know about you, but we all have places of retreat. I didn't have one this morning. We had Charlotte this morning. I'm really tired this morning. I didn't have a place in our house where I could retreat to because I need to. But we all have a place to retreat, don't we? We all have a space to go to. And Elijah goes into this cave not expecting what God would do here. If we let God work in us, if we listen, if we wait, if we find, if we search, if we knock, if we do all those things, when we find Jesus in our loneliness, something beautiful takes place. We change. We never stay the same. Elijah can come into the cave one way and leave a different way. Think about that. If he can do it, so can we. See, alone with God is an opportunity for God to do something with us. It can be a time to rethink. It can be a time to think, what am I doing? It can be a time for transformation. It can be a time to reorder. It can be a time to reevaluate. To go in one way and come out a different way. Even to come out at a different level. Sometimes God just leaves us alone to see what's going on. And the question you might have this morning, what am I doing in this place? And I don't mean church, okay? It's more than that. Why am I alone? Or maybe why am I running? Who came out of the cave wasn't the same person that went into the cave. And listen, God never asks the question, as he did Elijah, that he doesn't know the answer to. What are you doing here? He said to Elijah. Do you think God didn't know what he was doing there? Even before we say a word, God knows. Even before we pray, God knows. Even before we complain, God knows. Even before a word is on our tongue, God knows this morning. Even we can't say anything, God still knows. And someone needs to hear this morning. God knows. See, God allows Elijah to think, to evaluate where he is. He allows him just to think. What are you doing here? If I was to ask that this morning, what would we say? Spiritually. And it's a spiritual problem Elijah has. If I was to ask that question this morning, or God was to ask that question to you, what are you doing here? What would be your reply? I can imagine Elijah in our story saying, I'm here because all this has happened. I'm here. I tried to do this and I tried to do that. I went, I tried, no one listens, threats upon threats, and now I'm here. Can you imagine Elijah saying all that to God as if God didn't know? He's in a cave telling God all that's happened. How misunderstood he feels. How unpopular he feels. Every time he speaks, he feels unheard. Now he says, I'm under the threat of death. Now he feels alone. He would witness God in the big moments, wouldn't he? He would witness God in the crowded moments. He would witness God in the sensitive moments. He would witness God in the overwhelming moments. He had seen God in the achievements. He had seen God in the drought. He had seen God in the rain. He had seen God in the fire. Now in the earthquake we see. Everything started to shake. Everything became unstable. Everything became shakeable. Lightning would come down, fire would consume, but God could not be found, we were told. God has to be in the big moments, doesn't he? We always think that God has to be in the big moments. Surely God is in these lightning bolts. Surely God is in the fire. Surely God has to be found in the big moments. Surely God moves in the big moments. He does, but not this time. Not this time. You see, God's ways are not our ways. Listen to this. God wasn't found in the place that appealed to him or appeals to us. Not this time. God couldn't be found in the place we think he should be. Not this time. Listen. God shows up in the place that appeals to him less. God shows up in the place that appeals less to his senses. He shows up in the place we needed to concentrate. He shows up in the place where we need to be still. He shows up in the place where we need to slow down. When everything has stopped, when silence was the order of the day, it tells us that God would speak. And listen, God didn't speak so he could hear him. He spoke so he would listen. God didn't speak to Elijah so he could hear him. He spoke so he would listen, so that his ears would be attentive, so his posture would turn where he could hear the whisper. There was no music. There was no drums banging. There was no preaching. There was no instruments. There was silence. And God would whisper to Elijah in the still, small voice. This is the turning point this morning. This is the game changer this morning. This is where the story starts to turn. This is where our story could turn this morning. To go in the cave one way and to come out different. When we listen to his voice or for his voice, we can never stay the same. We can't go and talk to God and be the same. That's just impossible to happen. God had something to tell the prophet. And maybe this morning as I come to finish, maybe God has something to say to you and he's something to say to me. Maybe God is speaking to someone this morning. Maybe this is what he's saying. Don't let the cave define you. Don't let where you find yourself dictate what God can do. Don't let it define what God can do and can't do in you and through you. See, when God speaks in ways, we must listen. He speaks in the crowd. He speaks in isolation. He speaks through creation. And we've already seen it. He speaks through creation. God's ways are higher than our ways. And God will often, and I don't know what your experience is with God, God often speaks to Paul Murphy in the whisper. It's why Jesus often went and spent time alone. He found isolation, isn't it? So he could hear him talk. He could get strengthened and he could get encouraged. Maybe it's not God isn't speaking this morning. If you're saying, I can't hear God speaking, maybe that's not the problem. Maybe it's that we're just not listening. God spoke to Elijah in a way he needed. It was a still, small voice that was required. Picture the moment. Picture Elijah's life at this minute in time. You've just won a tremendous victory. You're running for your life. You've won the battle, and now you're threatened. Elijah is distraught. His desire for God seems to have disappeared. He didn't need the power of the wind. He didn't need the power of the earthquake. And he did not need the power of the fire. He was fragile. He needed a still, small, calm voice to talk to him. He needed assurance, and he needed God's reassurance. It's a beautiful picture we get in this story this morning of God's tender nature. It's a picture of his grace. It's a picture of his compassion, and it's a picture of his love. God's love draws him close. His love would draw him in. Paul reminds us in Romans 2 and 4. Listen to these words as I just wrap this up. Romans 2 and 4, from the Message, I think it is. Do you not see this morning how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Listen to that again. Do you not see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? Does that mean nothing to you? Can't you see his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? So today, this week, as soon as possible, if we get anything from our reading this morning, and it's really a devotional this morning I'm doing, it's just a thought this morning I'm doing. Listen today for his still, small voice. Find time alone with God. Listen for his correction. Look for his grace. Find his compassion. And know that God loves you this morning. And if you need to hear anything else as I come to pray, God knows this morning. I believe someone needed to hear that this morning. God knows this morning. God knows this morning. Let us pray.